Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, welcome to The Guinea Pig. I'm Dr. Mariam Zamani, an oculoplastic surgeon and aesthetic doctor.
And I'm Fiona Golfer, a writer and journalist. I'm no stranger to a cosmetic procedure, and I'm willing to try pretty much anything.
Which is why I'm here, to make sure Fiona and anyone else that's out there considering a treatment to help make a better informed decision safely and to try and collect as much information as they can.
Every fortnight, this podcast comes to you from Mariam's clinic in Chelsea. If you're looking for an honest, no-holds-barred approach to invasive and non-invasive cosmetic surgery,
then The Guinea Pig is here to help you. Hi, everyone. We're back at the clinic for another episode of The Guinea Pig. Hi, Fiona.
Hi, Mariam. As it's just the two of us today, I thought it'd be really nice to chat about our own personal health and beauty regimes. We've had so many great people on recently, and I wondered whether either of us have changed anything or learnt anything or kind of adopted any great new regimes. So we could talk about diet and skincare and supplements and all sorts of things.
That sounds like a great idea. I know you were just doing a little fast. Do you want to tell us about it?
Sure. Well, I'm always just doing a little something because as anybody who's kind of maybe read me in Vogue or read my work anywhere over the last 10, 15 years, I am constantly struggling with my diet, my weight issues. I'm not enormous, but I'm genetically predisposed to be huge. So diet is a word that I know is not a great word, but keeping myself in check is something that I try to do a lot of the time.
Was it always like this? Or was
always.
It always?
I come from a very big family, and I mean big in every sense of the word.
Really?
So both my parents were very large. I was teased at school for having fat parents. My father made chocolate, which didn't help.
Oh.
I have a brother who is very large and struggles with his weight. And although I'm not unhealthily...
You're normal.
Overweight. It's been the kind of battle of my life, and it really wasn't helped by the kind of messages that one got as a child. You know, we would have dinner at home and then my mother would take us out for Chinese. So, I mean, I was really encouraged to put it away. So as an adult, and I also wonder whether, you know, it's no surprise that working at Vogue, even though we were very discouraged from ever writing about diets. It was something that our editor then really didn't believe that we should write about diets and encourage people to diet. I was always on one. So if I wasn't clutching a bottle with some kind of weird liquid made of cayenne pepper and maple syrup and lemon juice and only drinking that for 4 days, or I was always first hand up to be the guinea pig to go to any health farm out there, fat farm. So I've been a yo-yo dieter my whole life and probably only ever gone 4 pounds either way. Really, like on a...
Amazing.
You know, it's an endless journey. And I don't do the obvious things, which would be exercise 3 times a week because I'm lazy. And so anyway, so yes, I've just recently finished yet another fast.
Which one did you
do
this time?
Not yet another fast because I'm not always fasting. But this time I tried something which I really quite believe in, which is I've just done a week of something called Prolon.
Oh, I did that as well.
Did you?
I did indeed. I tried it. It was interesting. I want to hear what you're... So for those of you who don't know, Prolon is something that helps to mimic fasting. It's a prepackaged 5-day course, basically. It's a food regimen to help reset your clock, essentially. And so there's been a lot of research that says intermittent fasting is really good for rejuvenating your organs, for detoxing. And also subsequently you can lose weight as well on because they're severely calorie restricted. So it's an idea that you have prepackaged every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner with some snacks. And for that 5 days, you stay away from also from any of the other things that might be bad, like caffeine, coffee, tea, no sugar, obviously. It's a vegetarian-based program. So what did you think of it?
Well, the idea is also that you'd do it for 5 days over 3 months. So you would do it three times, and that it's a water mimicking fast. So your body basically thinks that you're only on water, but you're getting a few perks in the form of powdered soups and little bars and olives and things that kind of keep you going through the day. I thought, well, you know what, to be honest, I think it's really effective. Now, I don't know if anybody out there hasn't seen Mariam, but there's not an ounce of fat on her.
I'm a skinny fat person.
She's a skinny fat person. I don't know where the fat goes, but it's certainly not
plenty
in front of
there.
Me. And I'm probably carrying more fat than you'd think, but I don't look it. Is actually because
no,
I'm
yes,
tall and I'm strong looking. So I found that I did it the first time I did it. This is the third time I've done it recently. I found it very effective. I found it quite easy to do. You get to day four and you don't quite know what planet you're on because your body, you know, you are lacking a certain amount of, sugar, coffee, all the things that you come off. It makes you a bit muddled headed. After about the third day, there were headaches for the first couple of days when I stopped coffee. But I think it's a really doable fast. And what I feel at the end of it, apart from the fact that I lost 5 pounds the first time I did it,
did you lose it the second and the third time as well?
No, because I do what I always do. You know, I do 2.5 days and think, does that really count for five? Because I think it's very, very hard psychologically if you're not as disciplined as somebody like you. And I know that that's where we're very different, you and I, Mariam. But
actually, I found it a bit difficult. I'll tell you about my experience too. I mean, so I think it depends on what reason you go on to one of these sort of, I hate that word diet too, but one of these sort of regimes that you start, whether you're doing it for the health benefits of it to detox.
Why were you doing it?
In 2019, my focus is to, for myself, is to be more healthy and take away some of the bad things in my life. So I'm generally healthy. I eat fairly well. I exercise. I gravitate towards those types of activities. I would never go to a fat farm. I'd much rather go to like a sports place and hike every day and do some exercise. You know, I love
that
part. So the idea of starving myself, I've never been on a diet ever in my entire life. And so it's not something that's part of ingrained in me. I've always been told I have to eat 3 meals a day. And I think on my own, you know, the way my life style has been, I think I've always been an intermittent faster and just didn't know it, you know. So there are times when you're in medical school, for instance, and you don't have lunch breaks, you don't have breakfast breaks, you know, you might be able to grab something in 5 minutes, but if there's an attending doctor that needs you, there's no like putzing around. There were no restrictions on how many hours you worked. And so, you know, you just got on with it. And so I never really got hunger pains, you know, it was just, I would eat when I could and I ate, and then there would be periods of time that I wouldn't, you know, when you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go round on patients, you're not exactly hungry for breakfast at that time.
Yeah.
So, you know, my natural hunger is I think a little bit skewed maybe relative to some other people, but for me, it's about being a little bit more health conscious. So I do all of those good things, but then maybe I only get like 6 hours of sleep at night. Or maybe I do all of those things and I still love my sugar and I have sweets everywhere and I buy chocolate.
You do love your sugar.
I do.
I mean, you do something that I would never, ever in a million years do, which is you have little bowls of sweets
I
in
do.
Your house and you have little bowls of sweets. I know exactly where they're hidden in the cupboard here. And you have little bowls of sweets. Where for me, little bowls of sweets is like just putting out kind of like, you know, mousetrap. I mean,
yes.
It's terrible for me.
Well, for me as well.
Yeah,
and so that's what sort of my journey is, because I know it's bad. I know it's bad for my insides. I know it's bad, you know, even superficially for my skin. I know it's bad for inflammation. It is really
so
one of those evil.
Really.
For me, it was for detoxing. And of course, you know, when you have other things that are out of whack too, when you're, you know, in a busy life and you're working a lot and you're not sleeping enough, you tend to hold on to weight differently. And maybe this time I did do it for, you know, that extra 2 pounds or whatever, you know, that may not be noticeable to other people, but I can feel it on myself. So I did prolong because I have actually one very close friend who swears by it. I mean, she loves this this regimen so much and spoke so highly of it. And so I found it fairly easy to use in the sense that, you know, it comes, the instructions are super easy to read. I've never really had processed food, interesting enough. So
they're
for
powdered
me,
soups. So just so for anyone listening, that each meal, well, you have a little bar for breakfast, which is very nice,
yeah,
and very tasty. And you then,
but I could have had like five of them. But yeah. Yes, it is tasty.
And then you have these powdered soups that you add water to, and you let them kind of bubble for about 5 minutes.
The dried soup, basically,
can absorb the water. It's a bit kind of space food like, and it's not horrible. It's not great, but it's not horrible. There's a very nice tomato soup I can recommend. And the nice thing about it is if you really are going to do this seriously, you just pop it in your handbag and you can take it wherever you go. The difference between your background and mine on that, I was thinking as you were talking, was that I had this career at Vogue which literally revolved around breakfast, lunch and dinner, because it was
so much of your life was
so much,
you know,
of my life was about going to work, breakfast and schmoozy lunches and taking people, and over those sort of lunches and breakfasts people would tell you what they were doing, and there are a lot of ideas for the magazine would come. So restaurant life was a very, very big part of my life. You'd have breakfast before having a breakfast, before going to lunch, before going to a drinks, before going to a dinner. And then you get home and snack, you know, or whatever it was. Or you're so tired that you go out to the corner shop and buy an ice cream because you've been having to do kissy kissy.
Yes.
Isn't it lovely to see you all day? So I do remember walking down the street with a fashion editor from the magazine one time, and the fashion department somehow managed to all stay kind of wonderfully skinny and look fabulous because clothes came first. And I said to my friend, yeah, I said, oh my God, I'm feeling like I've put on all this weight recently. And she looked at me and she said, well, you did eat. And it always stayed in my head because
brilliant.
I did.
I love that.
She said, well, you did eat, you know, and but it's true. I did. And I love eating and I love cooking and I love feeding people. It's a huge pleasure of mine.
You like to take care of people. I mean, you have a very nurturing character.
And I think things come alive around a table for me. So to have people sitting around my table on a Sunday lunch whilst I'm serving, I was brought up like that. You know, I came from a family where, you know, the more food was put on your plate.
Hello, I'm Middle Eastern, Iranians, you know, it's part of the culture.
Yes,
food
is,
if you don't eat, it's actually insulting. So,
and I come from a Jewish culture, which is, and my mother's cry was small plates. People say, no, not so much. It's small plates. They're small plates. So anyway, eating and
has always been a big part of socializing in life. So for us as well, but I think it's also interesting. So, you know, whereas a lot of people, you know, even in college, they would go and buy, you know, Campbell's tomato soups, and that would be their staple. My mother would come and she would bring me like Persian stew made from fresh vegetables and some veal and rice, and she'd, you know, put it in
That's
my freezer,
so funny.
And I would, you know, thaw it out one by one, and I'd have Persian
proper food.
But
yeah.
I've always lived off of proper food, so it's kind of hard for me to. So the Prolon, while I found it was very easy to do, the thing that I missed was the chewing aspect of it. So interestingly enough, like that mechanism of actually feeling the food. I mean, I love soups. I eat soup a lot during the winter time, for instance. But I always have soup with something.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll have it. You know, with even if it's a salad, a soup and a salad, or I have a stew or whatever it is, I always have something there that I can actually bite on. Or if I do have soups, I can chew on the vegetables. There's something in the soup that I can actually bite down on. So I feel for me, the Prolon, as much as it was very easy to follow, that's what was lacking. And I kept feeling like I wanted to get an apple so I could bite into it so I could have that crunchiness,
that,
you know? So that I thought was hard, but I think it's a very good way to detox yourself from the bad things, like from sugar. So I did get a headache. I don't drink coffee, but I got a headache because I wasn't having sugar.
Didn't give up coffee. Subsequently, I haven't given up coffee I'm thinking, for God's sake, there's only so much you can give up.
Yes, this is true.
So I've stayed with the coffee. And what I like about it and how I treat it now, and I'm sure that if anyone from Prolon is listening, I'm really sorry, but is that I have it as a sort of, I use it almost as a meal replacement. I might not do 5 days and lose the big amount, but if it's just me and I've got a day to myself, or if my husband's away, I'm so thrilled my husband's out at night, because I'll sit down and just have a powdered soup.
See, it's I would go and I would make a fresh soup with my little, I'd have a minestrone soup because I'd love to have all of that. The idea of having my meals out of a package, that was the only thing that I felt like I'm too old to be doing that, you know, almost. So interesting, like if it had been freshly made, I think I would have enjoyed the process longer because I do believe in the philosophy. And I really do think intermittent fasting is good. I think it's good for your organs to be able to clean out. And I do think it's good to be able to get rid of things that have accumulated in your lifestyle, like sugar. You know, you don't realize how addictive sugar is until you don't have it. The fact that I was having headaches from, it's not like I have bags, by the way, of sugar or anything like that. But, you know, I'll have like, you know, 4 or 5 M&Ms here. I'll have, you know, 2 Haribos, or I'll have like the Hello Kitties that now I have in my office or whatever. But whatever it is, it's...
See, I don't have it for sugar. I have it for savory. I mean, I could quite happily just live on sort of, you know, stews, but I wouldn't have these days, but I'd want sort of mashed potato, or I'd want pasta, or I'd want all those sort of things are what appeal to me. Sugar I can take or leave, but my husband always reminds me, in the 70s there was an ad on television for something called R. White's, and there was it was called Secret Lemonade Drinker, and there was a man would come down in the middle of the night and you'd hear the psht of the fridge door opening while he drank his lemonade in the middle of the night. And that's my husband with sugar.
Oh, really?
So I hear him come downstairs, I hear him go to the fridge because we keep all our chocolate, and if there's ice cream it's in the freezer, and I hear psht, and I can hear it happening, and he'll go down, he'll have an ice cream, and then he'll kind of come back, and then he'll go down and have another one.
That's so funny.
It's such a trigger for him.
Yes, sugar. You can't have a little.
He can't have one. If I had like one square of chocolate, I can really make it last. I kind of eat around the edge. And I can see Robert looking at me wanting to murder me because I'm controlling my chocolate intake. It's funny, isn't it? But each man has his poison.
Yes,
so would you do Prolon again, Maya?
You know, I would prefer to do it differently. So, I enjoyed doing it. It was nice to do a sort of, do a detox like that, because I'd never done one like that before. But as I said, I also felt very tired on it. So they do recommend not to work out as much. And I have to say, for me, that was very difficult because I enjoy working out. And so
that was the gift part for me.
I think for me, that was the sort of the hardest part. And the idea behind that is also meaningful too, because they want you to work out less, so your body's actually in recovery mode, which I get. But you know, I found that aspect of it again. Would I do it again? I'm not into, you know, diets, but it was an interesting one. I would prefer to be on something freshly made. I think the theory and the ideas behind it is really great, but I personally would have preferred if I had real food as opposed to processed food. I think there's a lot to gain from chewing, and also I feel like, you know, it's aesthetically not as interesting too, you know. So I would actually mix my stuff and bring it to my office, because I didn't want people to see.
What about,
you
know, the price? The price?
I thought it was reasonable. You know, you get quite a lot. It's 5 days, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks.
How all much?
It's $250 for 5 days. So you're paying £50 a day. I do think clean eating is generally more expensive, like we were discussing
previously. We were saying earlier that, I mean, in all the times that I've reviewed health farms and fat farms and looked at their prices, you pay a fortune to eat nothing. It always makes me laugh.
No,
like, the less
true.
You eat, the more you pay. But I do think that for anybody who does, you know, who does want to do a fast like this or a detox, Prolon is as good as anything out there on the market. I really do think it's a very well considered and scientifically well researched product. And would I do it again? Yes, but I would make sure that I was maybe going to be in a situation where I could sort of focus on the nothingness of it in a way. So I think with me recently, when I tried to do it, it was a kind of busy period. I couldn't get a clear night.
Yes.
I go to Cornwall a lot of the time, as you know, and I would take it with me to Cornwall and do 5 days in
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think that's brilliant, yeah. Because I think also the purpose of having one of these types of detox, yeah, is not just the food, it's the exercise, yeah, it's also the mental space.
A gentle exercise, I would I would say. Don't push yourself, because yes, I think if you push yourself, you can get dizzy and you can get...
Well, it's calorie restricted. Yeah. I mean, I think it said something like you lose between 5 and 6 pounds on this protocol, because of the calorie restriction. So if you're exercising on top of that, I mean, you do need a little bit more food than the 1,000, you know, calories. I don't remember exactly how many calories it said, but you know, it's around that ballpark. I think sometimes people construe like being slender with being fit, which is not actually the same at all.
Or being fit with being well,
yes,
which is another
thing that's not, which is not true as well. So the idea behind it is that I really wanted to make myself a little bit more, you know, I don't want to say wholesome because that sounds a strange word to
wellsome.
Use. Wellsome. Yes, I want to be a little bit more
wellsome. I think the takeaway though is that if you do work and live in this kind of incredibly charged and stressful environment that we do, try and create a space for yourself. God knows everyone's got kids, everyone's got life, everyone's got partners, everyone's got all the stresses. But if you can find 3 or 4 days just to take yourself, you know, get on the train and go to the Lake District or go to a park near you, or just give yourself an hour or 2 hours in nature. Diet helps, but I think really kind of going outside, breathing. We were talking earlier about
gardening. Outside is amazing. Being outside
and nature.
I think sometimes you just don't know how much is going on in your life, yeah, until you step away. And I think that's what, you know, the English culture. So a lot of people live in the country, or they commute to the country, or they commute into a town to work, mm, or they go away on weekends. And you have to find your little space and have that mental clarity.
Taking
even if you have meditation,
yeah,
you know, I don't meditate, for instance, but even a bath, you know, yeah, self-love.
I spend hours in the bath, hours in the bath.
Are you, yeah, a prune?
I've always just really found when the shit hits the fan, I hit the bath.
Really?
It's been my whole life like that. And I like to, well, I shower in the mornings, just so everyone knows my routine. I generally shower in the morning, but I always dreamt of having a bathroom that was, I've got a kind of little armchair in my bathroom, and I've got lots of things that I love in my bathroom, sort of cubby holes with various sort of lovely things I've collected over the years, tiny dolls or little tins or whatever, soaps. I always used to collect soaps that came in beautiful wrappers. And when I get home, I immediately go and I go to the bathroom and I get in the bath and I call down to my husband. I go, come and talk. And we do all our talking in the bathroom, everything. I'd say all the key moments of our life, good news, bad news, they've all sort of happened in the bathroom. I do really decompress in the same way that my husband decompresses by pruning the garden. He goes out and he starts manically kind of tearing at rose bushes, and then he calms down about halfway through and he just gets into the kind of garden mode. I know if I'm stressed because something enormous and red appears on my face generally, so which it did this morning. I've got a whole new spot emerging along with a really insane outbreak of rosacea because it's very hot in London at the moment, so I've woken up looking like a pincushion, and I get a kind of tension in my
stomach,
yes. I feel like a knot of tension that comes in my stomach, and I feel like I keep been saying to my husband for the last few days, I'm having a heart attack, but it's tension. I know I get a sort of knot, and we live in a very tense world, and I think I take quite a lot of things to, you know, I wake up every morning and
I take a lot of supplements.
A friend of mine told me about liposome. Is that the right pronunciation, mm-hmm, of it? I take Ultrient and I take vitamin C, yeah, and I take vitamin B be. And I take them because they've got a 98% absorption. They come like a gel. I put them into a little bit of water. And I can almost immediately feel, particularly with a bee, at first you can feel sometimes tiny, tiny bits sick. I'm so used to it now that I don't. But there's no pause between swallowing it and it going into your system, which I really like the idea of. And I've been using that all of this year and I found it really helpful. And I take quite a lot of supplements. I like it. Do you take nutrients in the morning or supplements?
So, my dad's an orthopedic surgeon, and the thing that he always told me was calcium, calcium, vitamin D, calcium. So for the strength of my bones. And, now that I do what I do, I see that as we get older, our face, our bony structures change dramatically. And so, for sort of quite superficial reasons, I take a calcium and a vitamin D, but not always. I probably take it 3 times a week. I can't remember to take supplements.
I can't remember to take anything.
So my dad actually brings me sometimes, and sometimes when I'm in the States, I buy like these little chocolate forms of calcium and vitamin D.
Obviously,
and so,
it's typical.
So then I remember.
Then you remember.
Then I might pop
keep it on your desk.
I try to take calcium and vitamin D because, living in an environment where I'm almost never out in the sun in the UK, I think vitamin D is also really important. And I think I try to supplement as much as I can just with my diet. So I do have a lot of green leafy vegetables. I love fruit. I have fresh. I know that it's not necessarily good. I'm telling you what I do, and that it's not. I'm not recommending that other people do it. But for myself, I wake up and I have a hot water, lemon and ginger, but then I also have a half a glass of mandarin, freshly squeezed mandarin
yes,
with
like
oranges.
Mandarin.
And I know that gives you a spike in sugar, but actually I think that's sort of like my caffeine hit, I realized. Mm. I think it does give me a
you
little
don't
burst
have coffee.
Of energy. I had drink no coffee
oh,
at all.
I don't know how you live.
So I feel like I get my vitamin C, and then I do eat a lot of those things, the high nutrients. But I also think that sometimes people are like, oh, but I'm this vitamin deficient or this one. I think it's also very difficult to tell, because whenever you have your blood taken, it's really a snapshot of where your body is and where your bloods are at that specific time. And it is very dependent on what you've eaten in the last 24 hours.
Can we just move on to the trivial and yet fascinating? I'd love to know your morning routine. So with your skin, which is completely perfect always, just talk me through, literally, you open your eyes, you get up, you wash your face with?
So I wash my face with a very small amount of MZ Skin, my cleanser. I have my own skincare line, so obviously pretty much everything I use is from there. And then because I suffer from pigmentation, I always have vitamin C. So again, I use my own Brighten and Perfect vitamin C, but there's lots of great vitamin C's out there. And then I put my moisturizer on and I mix that. Now I use the tinted perversion that I have, but if I don't have that available to me, because actually, funny enough, I couldn't even get it myself. I get my own moisturizer and then I mix it with a drop of Guerlain foundation, but literally a drop. The moisturizer that I use, the MZ Skin one, already has SPF in it. So I'm pretty much
done. And do you use
done.
Moisturizer on your body every day?
I do. I'll tell you the rest of my routine, because that's just my morning routine. And then I do put bronzer on. So I love Tom Ford bronzer. I put Tom Ford bronzer on. Sometimes I put a little bit of Charlotte Tilbury eyeliner and mascara and lip balm, and that's it. And I'm out the door.
What
and
lip
perfume.
Balm? What lip balm do you use?
Actually, I use Blistex lip balm, funny enough.
Okay.
So I love, there's this one pink one that I can only find in CVS in America. And I have like 100 of them. I have them in every bag. I have them in every bathroom. I have them in everywhere. My kids have them. And it's called DCT, Daily Conditioning Treatment. I wear it. It's the last thing I put on before I go to bed. And it's the first thing
lips.
I put on
in
the morning.
Whatever
it's
one
very
puts on
addictive
one lips,
because
then.
It just makes me hydrated and it keeps hydrated and it stays on my lips because I have a tendency to eat anything that's on my lips. So I really love it. And then at night is actually when I do a lot of, this is when I have my ritual, because in the morning I wake up and I'm ready in like 6 minutes, literally. So except for my breakfast part. In the evening, I usually work out, and then I come home and I take a small bath, short bath, 15 minutes with Epsom salt. This is a new thing that I've started, and I love that.
Very good for your muscles.
Really, it just releases all tension, because my showers, and then I take a shower afterwards, because I don't know, I feel like I need to rinse off. I never grew up with baths.
She's so American.
So then I take a shower. And then I, you know, do my nice cream regimen, which again, you know, it varies depending on summer and winter, but I usually have a retinol incorporated that I put on first. And then I put my nice Replenish and Restore Night Mask on and a little bit of eye cream. And again, the same lip balm. But I do use body moisturizer, and I switch between different ones. I like to use ones. I have a tendency for dry skin, mainly because you should not take hot baths and hot showers, but I do like that for me personally. And so it's very drying on the skin. And so I do like things that have lactic acid, like different acids in them to hydrate the skin. So right now I'm using Exuviance, but I try different body moisturizers all the time. And I actually quite like this Exuviance one. And then you put, you know, cream on my hands and my feet, and then bed. But the
you're
bedtime,
like my grandmother's dream person. My grandmother would have had me do all of that.
But you know, it takes me 5 minutes to do. It's not a very long process. Yeah. If it takes too long to do, I won't do it. And then I put on like nice little pajamas and, you know, underwear, and I like to go to bed
like a goddess.
Yeah, I like to go to bed feeling like totally clean and you know, fresh.
Well, last week I got in terrible trouble when we were...
what do you do?
Fuck all. Bye, everyone. No. but although my head's spinning with all that information, last week we had dermatologist Dr. Justine Hexel, who came to see us on the show, and everybody was very cross with me because I said that I generally just fall into bed fully made up and don't wash my face at night. Secret to a happy marriage. Actually, I do remember interviewing Charlotte Tilbury, who sleeps with her makeup on.
But she comes home, she washes it off, and then she puts a whole new face back
on. She says. But anyway, just Charlotte, you can sue me later. But anyway, the idea...
I read that article, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's her party piece. I'm just lazy, and I've always been lazy, and I think there's a kind of hangover from my grandmother saying the more you pull your skin around, you know, the worse it is for it. So I've always used that as an excuse. But since we saw Justine...
Do you pull your face when you wash it?
No.
Yeah,
I generally wash my face in the shower in the morning when I'm having my shower. There's a product I love called Wildsmith, which is a very, very natural, organic. And it's a sort of like a oily gel that you put on your face and you massage it in, and then you add a bit of water and it becomes creamy and you wash it off with a face cloth. And I like the way it feels. I like the way it smells. That's always got a lot to do with it.
Yes.
And then more and more, I do less and less, because one of the reasons is because I do get rosacea and my skin does react quite quickly to anything I do with it. And so here we are. It's midsummer and my skin is really not happy. I mean, it's not happy like a 16-year-old with acne.
No, you're very hard on yourself. I've got a lot of makeup on today,
but I did spend... I hate what I had to do this morning. And what I had to do this morning basically was do all the things that, you know, we've talked about with Amanda Harrington, how I love having a bit of bronzing tan on because I don't like to put makeup on. I feel claustrophobic. Well, this morning I woke up with really unattractive, let's say, kind of white spots all over my face, which are the rosacea. They come with a kind of pussy head, which was revolting. And then I had another kind of real spot turning up. And I have this hangover from this spot that I had nearly like a month ago that doesn't seem to want to go away. So I felt really kind of hideous this morning. And more and more, as I say, I do less and less. And so I wash my face with the Wildsmith, and then I put on a vitamin C. But sometimes I panic that the vitamin C, you know, you're the expert, but I worry that the vitamin C is exacerbating that, because it does a lovely kind of, does leave a lovely glowing skin, but I wonder whether it's a bit strong for me at the moment. And then I've been using Aven, anything I can get my hands on from Aven, because I'm trying to be as gentle on my skin as possible. But, you know, this morning I had to put on concealer. I put on there's a Chanel water-based foundation that I love, but I don't, I put that on, then I put on concealer, then I put on spot cover. I mean, I spent hours trying to join the
dots. No, you didn't, I can tell. Okay,
no,
so,
I did.
So Fee's idea
of
makeup.
Concealing spots.
Okay, but it's really nothing. You should see sometimes when people really have makeup on, I could take this off with one,
yes.
You know, wash very quickly.
But tonight I will really wash my face because I don't want to go to sleep with all that on. Generally, I don't have foundation on, so I don't have that kind of cloying feeling of get it off.
But sunscreen too. Do you sleep with the sunscreen on, or are you bad and you don't wear sunscreen?
I'm terrible at sunscreen. And I think sunscreen is a whole other conversation because it's something that we should talk about with Robert, my husband, when he comes on the show because... You know, I was in the countryside this weekend and we've talked about this. Obviously not. No, you know, I'm sitting out and I'm thinking.
So that's why your rosacea is worse too, by the way.
My rosacea is furious with me because I didn't use sunscreen and because I did. But I'm blah, 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 everybody. You know, that's the problem. You're blah, 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 the 1%, I think. Mm. But I'm kind of like, oh my God, it's sunny. I only think about sunscreen if I'm lying down in the sun. I'm terrible even on the kind of daily using products with sunscreen in them because I'm still quite confused because of all this recent controversy about sunscreens, about what I should use. It's
Before I had my own skincare line, I would, and even I still recommend it to some people, is that, you know, for when you're very dehydrated and your skin is very, they have a calming mask that it's really nice to just leave on overnight. You just use it instead of a mask, use it as a moisturizer. And I find that very soothing to the skin.
So I would say to a lot of you out there that if you are, you know, we should probably begin to wrap it up because we could talk about our own routines for hours. But I would say that for me, the takeaway from this show is, well, obviously wash more, but
I've always done these rituals that I say. I think I've always done them my whole life. You know, my mother gave me Lancome when I was, 13, 14, and that's where it all started. And it was always part of my routine, even in medical school, even in residency, when I would come home really late, it was the one thing that made me feel good. And I have always liked nice skincare products because I associate that with a very calming effect. I love the smells. I love the textures. I like how it made me feel, and it wasn't for anybody else. And so I always feel that that's part of my own self-care routine. That no one else benefits from it. But I feel better about myself having done it. So if I go to bed on a night that I'm super exhausted and I don't want to wash my face, I just can't do it. I mean, I literally cannot do it. I'll lay down in my bed for like 5 minutes and I'll be like, okay, I got to get up. I got to wash my face. I just can't do it.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
Just a quick aside. This weekend, which was boiling hot in London, this was months ago probably for you listening, but my daughter got very sunburned. And she came back and she put your gold mask on.
Yes.
Because she was feeling so burnt and so sore. Is that a good thing to do if you've got sunburn? Was that a good idea?
Yes, it is, because it's filled. I'm coming out with a, funny you should say that, probably by the time this comes out, it will have already launched, but I'm creating one specifically for sensitive skin that's been affected by pollution, UV damage. But it's really nice because they're filled, most collagen and sheet masks are filled with hyaluronic acid. So they can be very soothing. The one that I have is very cooling on the skin, and it has also has some vitamin C in it. And it has nicotinamide, which is an anti-inflammatory to help bring down inflammation.
She did look better. She wore it for about 40 minutes, your mask.
Oh my gosh. She didn't need to wear it that long. But I do think that it's really important that, you know, you have to protect your skin because once you've gotten to that point, you've damaged it
something.
So once you
have sort of burnt yourself, it's not a bad idea to put on a sort of good
cooling mask. Yes. Okay. It's something that has anti-inflammatory. You can take a paracetamol, ibuprofen, decrease swelling, you know, pain associated with it. But cooling is generally, take an oatmeal bath, you know, if it's on the body. Lots of different things that can be done.
Okay. Well, that's all from us this week. And thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Insta and get the before and after photographs and videos and much more besides at the Guinea Pig Podcast.
And if you have any questions or topics that you want us to talk about, please do let us know. We're always open. We'd love to chat with each other and we'd love to chat about things that you want to hear about. So let us know. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
The Guinea Pig provides unbiased information to those who may be considering cosmetic surgery or even trialing a non-invasive treatment or product. We do not endorse the use of any product or procedure featured in this podcast and are not responsible for the outcome of any of the treatments featured on this podcast or damage caused in connection with any treatments or products. Should you decide to try any of the procedures, treatments or products mentioned in any episode of The Guinea Pig, you do so at your own risk. Always consult an independent and fully qualified medical professional if you are considering embarking on a medical procedure, irrespective of whether it's an invasive or non-invasive procedure.